Welcome to Missing Pieces, MPE Life. I'm your host, Don Anderson. This is Season 3, Episode 13, A Check-In with Don. So I wanted to put out an episode because I haven't put out one in a while, a few weeks. And, you know, I've been traveling for work and been getting sick every time I traveled. So I went to, like, Corning, New York, and then Connecticut, and in that time I got COVID. So then I came home and got over being COVID, and then I went on another trip. Didn't get sick on that one, but it wore me out, and I just haven't had the people I have lined up to do episodes. We just can't get our schedules straight, and so it's been difficult. But I wanted to check in with you guys and just tell you a couple things that's going on, or to share a couple things with you. One is this kind of amazing thing happened when I was in northern Michigan recently on a work trip. And I was up there by myself, and I was staying this old kind of, you know, built around 1900 hotel, squeaky floors and all. But it was really nice and overlooked the Lake Michigan. So it was really nice, and it was very autumny up there with the beautiful leaves and stuff. So it was kind of an incredible trip that way. I wish Lisa would have been with me, but she had to stay home and take care of business here. But while I was up there one night, I had this dream. And I'll tell you before I tell you about the dream that I subscribe to the philosophy that there is nothing in this world more boring than listening to someone else tell you about the dream they had last night. Because they never make sense. It's always like, well, we were there, but we weren't really there. It was our house, but it wasn't really a house. And then we were in Jamaica, and King Henry was there. You know, just like, they never make sense. And they make perfectly sense to the person telling you about the dream, but and it's so meaningful to them. But God help us, right? When someone starts telling us a dream they had last night. But before I tell you about that dream, I'll just tell you. See, that COVID is not going away anytime soon. I mean, the COVID's gone, but just the leftover fatigue and morning coughing. But where was I? Oh, so my biological dad, I'm sure I've talked about it before, the specifics, but in case you don't remember them, died in 2010. I never met him, obviously. I didn't know I was an MPE until 2021. So, but according to my four sisters, my new sisters, he always wanted a son. And so that's kind of haunted me, that he always wanted a son, you know, and didn't know about me. I mean, I don't know if haunted is the right word, but it made me long for that relationship more, I think. If you recall, in an earlier episode called Finding Bio Dad, which may or may not be one of my top three favorite episodes I've done, if anybody cares about my favorite episodes. And it seems to be pretty popular with the numbers too out there. But you know, I was kind of searching for him because I never got to meet him. I've seen pictures. And this one bit of video I do have is him in a melodrama. It's a fundraiser he did for his town that he lived in Mexico. They had a fundraiser every year, and he participated quite a bit, I guess. But, you know, in his character, he was this over-the-top gay man, which isn't who he was in real life. And so, you know, the point of that episode was I was trying to figure out who he was by watching this video. I don't know if that's the point of the episode, but, you know, I've been looking for other video of him where he's him. But I think what's happened is the four new sisters have told me so much about him and shared so much of their life, including, you know, they took me on their road trip to Arizona where they grew up, and they told me a lot about who their dad was, who our dad was. Still get tongue-tied when I talk about these things. And so anyway, I kind of had an idea who he was. You know, he's really funny, super charming. Everyone loved him. He was, except for his kids, He was kind of a tough father sometimes, but, you know, the, so anyway, my point is that they gave me a clear picture of who he was. And I think to their credit, they didn't hold back the good or the bad. They, you know, just let me know who he was. And I really, really appreciate that. So out of nowhere in Michigan, I have this dream. And in this dream is my bio dad. So in the dream, this is going to be the part that you guys are rolling your eyes like, okay, Don, bore us to fucking tears telling us about your dream you had last night. And it wasn't last night, but in the dream, it was kind of like a family reunion, but not really. Like, it was more like we were all convening somewhere. And when I say all, I mean me and my family and my four sisters' families. With him, you know, he was alive in the dream. And we were going to have a cookout barbecue, depending on what part of the country you're from, what you call that. And everybody was bringing meat. But my biological dad, his name's Bob, wanted a specific type of meat. I think it was ribeyes because I'm a partial to ribeyes myself. And so in my vehicle, I had all this different cuts of meat, but I didn't have ribeyes. And we were looking for it in everyone's cars, but it was kind of in the dream, I felt responsible, like that I was supposed to bring the ribeye and I had forgotten it or fucked up somehow. And so I was feeling really bad and like I had let him down personally. And so, and the next thing you know, this is one of those, and then we were in Jamaica. The next thing you know, it was me and the four sisters only with him in the motorhome, his motorhome. It's interesting that he did have a motorhome, they told me, near the end of his life. There was some controversy there, which I won't go into, but it's interesting that the motorhome came out in my dream. And in the motorhome, he's looking around, kind of assessing the situation and about not having the ribeyes. And he says, well, we'll just go get some more. And it was very clear understanding to everyone in the room that he meant, let me and my kids go get some more, like excluding everyone else. And not in a ugly way, but like in like, you know, I want it to be me and my kids. In the dream, I didn't know if I was included, right? Like he was saying, let's go do this as, you know, me and my kids. And I didn't know if I was included. So I didn't say anything. Everybody else was kind of like, you know, sure, let's go, getting ready and all that stuff. And he looked at me very poignantly and said, you coming? And I kind of looked around at everybody else and I didn't really want to presume in the dream that I was his child, if that makes sense. And so I just shrugged. And I think in the dream, I was afraid if I talked, some emotion would leak out that I didn't want, you know, and that I didn't want to show. And so I just shrugged. And then he's like, he looked at me kind of like with that, how would you say it? Stern, old fashioned dad that has sternness and care in the same sentence, if that makes sense. I don't know how to explain it more than that. And he looked at me and he said, no, you're coming. I want it to be family. And I have to tell you, in my dream, when he said that, I felt like $1 million. I felt so included, so loved, so belonging. And then I woke up. But I don't mean to say that I woke up and those things were gone, because they weren't at all. I had such a warm, lovely feeling. And I realized straight away that I probably had one of the best dreams I've ever had in my life. I mean, it was so real and so vivid. And he had come to life. And he was exactly how they explained him. And it was amazing. You know, I'm probably going to ruin the moment by telling you about my other favorite dream from when I was a 12-year-old. And it was my first kind of sexual dream. Not that we had sex, but it involved Wonder Woman, you know, Linda Carter as Wonder Woman. So it was right up there with that, let me tell you. You know, and I bring this dream up just to tell you, brag, because I had the coolest fucking dream ever. But also, you know, I wrote my new sisters and told them about it. And they were like, oh, that's nice. How nice. And I'm not, I know they listen to this sometimes, but, and I'm not saying this that they did anything wrong at all. I'm just telling you about my NPE reaction to everything. It was that I felt like they didn't fawn over the dream the way I wanted them to. Like, you know what I mean? Like, to me, it was this mystical, out of this world, almost like this physical manifestation of this need I have to know this biological dad. And having that dream was like one of the most amazing things I've ever happened to me, if that makes sense. And so them just saying, oh, that was nice, just didn't, you know, but I quickly realized it was me, not them. I'm telling you, they didn't do anything wrong. I'm just saying that until I started talking about NPE, talking about it with other NPEs who saw the significance in the way that I did, that I knew it was as big as a deal as I was making it, if that makes sense. To them, they really just thought, oh, it was a nice dream. And it was, and I'm not knocking them, but I wanted them to like be as like emotionally ecstatic as I was. And they weren't. So that was my dream. And there's lawnmowers outside. I don't know if you can hear them. I'm sure you can. It's so annoying in LA. You know, they outlawed years ago gas leaf blowers. But everybody, every house in LA that has a gardener has gas leaf blowers. So they outlawed them and they do nothing to restrict the use of them. Nothing. No one gets tickets. No one gets arrested. Not that anybody should get arrested for using that, but there's, you know, why make the law if you're not going to enforce it, is my point. And they're annoying, except when my gardeners use them because I need them. So I stopped recording to see if the leaf blowers were very bad, and they're not that bad, so I'm going to keep going. So someone told me recently on Instagram, we had a conversation. I think, I don't even know her name. I think it's Little Miss Sunshine or something like that is her name. She's an NPE on Instagram. You know, people reach out to me all the time there. And if you want to, you can too. It's NPE underscore life underscore podcast. And it's on Instagram. And you can just reach out to me there, send me a message, and I'll answer you. But anyway, Little Miss Sunshine wrote me about something and we started talking. And one day, she was commenting on one of my episodes and how wonderful it was, I'm sure. And she was, and she told me this thing that she uses to tell non-NPEs what it's like for us to search for biofamily. And I thought it was fucking brilliant. So I'm going to share it with you. And that is, so if people say to you, why do you feel this need to look for your biological family? You have a family, right? Like, first of all, everybody out there who's not an NPE, do you not think an NPE knows that? Like, we're pretty aware that we have a family. But what she's done, which I love, is she puts it back on them, especially ones that have kids, right? So say to your friend or whoever, your sister, you know, one of your originals, like, think about your child. Think about how much you love that child. How much you'd do anything for that child, especially, you know, if they're grown, this story works better, I think. Anyway, and then think about if you found irrefutable evidence that your child was switched at birth. Little Sally was switched at birth with another baby in the hospital. You brought home the wrong baby. So this baby that you brought home, that you raised, that you, you know, had heartbreaks over, that you, you know, saw them soar, whatever your life story is with little Sally, like, you still love her. She's still your child, right? Nothing is going to take that away from you. Like, you still love her like you always have. And nothing's going to change that. But wouldn't you be curious about who the real Sally was? Where the real Sally went? What kind of life the real Sally had? What Sally looks like? If she looks like you? If she looks like your family? You know what I mean? And I thought that was such a poignant way of explaining it to an outside, because of course, if you're a parent and you find out your kid was switched at birth, of course, you're going to be curious about the kid that you didn't take home, your biological child. Doesn't mean you're going to love the other one any less. Doesn't mean that the other one's not going to be family. But there is this going to be an insatiable curiosity for you to find out about your about the biological child that you didn't raise. End of story. So, you guys can all thank Little Miss Sunshine for that and use it freely. I give it to you. Let me know how it goes when you use it. I'd like to hear what the reactions were. I haven't had the opportunity since she told me to tell somebody yet, but I can't wait. And it's not like a nasty thing about, but it's just like some people don't understand, like, you know, and I think it's, and I'm not saying they should understand, right? When people say that stuff to you about, why do you need to look for your biological family? You have a family. They're not being mean. You know, they're just stating the truth from their point of view, which is limited because they haven't experienced this earth-shattering discovery that we have. And so I'm not saying anybody's doing anything wrong. I'm just saying that this is a way to explain it to them so that they can possibly understand what we go through. So in the rest of this episode today, I'm going to share this conversation that I had with my dad. I recorded it when he found out that he wasn't my dad, when my sister got drunk and told him. And it was the day he found out I called him. And the reason I wanted to share it is I was listening to it when I was in Michigan, because I hadn't listened to it since I recorded it. So had I told you about the content of this conversation I had with my birth certificate dad, who I will always call dad, I would have told you I was upset because he said that he never thought that I wasn't his, right? So basically the setup is he told both my sisters that he always, you know, he told them both that he always wondered if I was his, you know, throughout my life. And in my memory of this conversation with him, he denied it completely. And the reason I'm playing today is you can see that my memory was totally flawed. He does contradict himself. And I think, you know, I think the problem with, you know, the situation. So just to catch everyone up, me and my originals, you know, siblings had agreed to not tell him. You know, he wasn't doing good at the time when I found out health-wise, and we all decided just to not hurt him, just let him die in peace. And in over the course of time, like the year and a half where I knew that, but he didn't know, I was always torn if I was doing the right thing, not letting him know the truth. You know, my thoughts at the time, what good could come out of it? You know, let him die just thinking I was his. And I didn't want to hurt him. So I think what goes on in this conversation is neither one of us are want to hurt the other one. And I think that everything he does, says, I think he's weighing if it's going to hurt me or not, right? So him wondering his whole life if I was his son or not, he feels like if he admits that to me, it's going to hurt me. Where I am like, no, let's talk about that. I want to know why you thought that. I want to know at what parts of my life did you think, oh, maybe he's not mine? Like, what was I doing? Was it because I was good at basketball? Was it because I was good in school? Like, I just want to know, because it's fascinating to me. But I don't think he's capable of doing that. But I'm bringing it up because he did admit several times in the conversation that he wondered if I was his, which is just fascinating to me that my memory of the conversation is that he denied it completely. It just goes to show you what our memories do, you know? So anyway, here it is. I may interject a couple times. I know a couple times I'm going to have to fill you in, because him and I, you know, it's one of the dangers of interviewing somebody who both knows the whole story, right? Is that you don't fill in the blanks for the audience. And so, but I'll try to fill them in when I see them. So without any further ado, here's my phone call with my dad the day he found out that I wasn't his son.
Yo.
Hey, how are you?
What's up? I was in the living room.
So I talked to Julie just now.
Yeah.
She said she
all right?
Yeah, are you all right?
Yeah. What do you say, my son?
I mean, I know that. So what I'm referring to here and what he refers to it a couple times too throughout is, so growing up, there was me, my older sister, Tammy, right? From my parents' marriage. They got divorced, my parents. And then my dad married Sandy, my stepmom, who had two kids of her own. And then Sandy and my dad had a child together. And my mom had another child with her second husband. But for my dad's sake, those are the five kids we're talking about. And he, he's no longer even with my stepmom, who's two of his kids' mom. He's not even married to her anymore, but he still treats them just as much like a kid as he does me. And although I'm not his kid anymore, but, and then Tammy, my older sister, he knew that she wasn't his the whole time. So what I'm saying here is that I know because he treats us all equally, that he wouldn't love me any less because I'm not his. What I didn't say is that, yeah, but I'm the only one from infidelity, right? But I still don't think it's in him to love me less. It's just, he's not that kind of guy. And I'm proud of him that he's that kind of guy. I mean, I know that the way you've treated, you know, everybody else, that it wouldn't be an issue, that you'd still love me and, you know.
Oh, yeah. But, right.
So that I just didn't want you to be hurt is why I didn't tell you.
No, I'm not hurt. I kind of had a feeling because she ran around so much and you couldn't get nothing out of her. And I had a feeling that you done a test, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
Okay. You told me what the results were. And when I heard the results, I said, something doesn't work right with that. There's hardly any Scandinavian. You weren't hardly any Scandinavian, were you?
I didn't remember that I told you that. I mean, when I first did the first test, it was like 6 years ago. It said it was like almost 40%, like 36%.
Yeah.
So one thing. Did you hear that, what I did? So when I did this test at FTDNA a couple, like 6 years ago, I came up 36% Scandinavian. It should have been 50%. I just said to myself at the time, oh, That's close enough to 50%. But did you hear what I just did there? I said, it was 36%, you know, like 40%. Like I upped it in my head. And it's just weird how we just do that to ourselves, right? But and the other thing I want to say is my dad watches TV all day, usually CNN, and he never turns it off if you call him. So that's what you hear in the background. All right, back to the story. Is that what you're talking about? Because I don't know if I told you after that, it kept going down. I'm like, what the hell? And now I'm not any. I just want to say, though, that you'll always be my dad, and I love you, and I'm glad you're my dad.
All right. At least we got the right thoughts there.
Yeah.
Because I feel the same way.
And yeah, I'm glad. But,
Julie,
you know,
was scared.
But it broke my heart that I wasn't Norwegian, too. You know, all the effort I put into that and went over there and found the farm. And
right.
I mean, part of me just feels foolish. But
oh, you mean being on the farm?
No, just, you know, going to Norway and finding the, you know, looking for my ancestors and finding the farm that they sold to come to America.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Right, right.
I mean, well, it's just not being a Grand Guard is just, I don't know. I just, you know, that was my identity. You know what I mean? By the way, I'm recording this so I can remember it and stuff.
Oh, okay.
But did they?
Let's make a movie, shall we?
Yeah, I wish we could. So, Tanya, I was going to, I've been really torn up about whether to tell you or not. And then Tanya told me like a couple months ago that you'd been asking or saying that you wondered if I was yours.
They did. They did. Tanya had asked me, do you think Donnie's your son? And I says, yeah. Why?
So this kind of pisses me off. So my sister was asking him all along. She was telling me that he had been asking if I was, you know, that if she thought I was his son. But he's telling me that it was her prompting him, like, hey, do you think Donnie's your son? They call me Donnie. And it just pisses me off because, first of all, I know he's telling the truth. He's just, he's not capable of lying like that manipulatively. And so he would, you know, I know he's telling the truth. And it just pisses me off that my sister was doing that. Like both of them, the one that told him and this one, they were like in cahoots with each other. And they're also the ones that got him to take the test without him knowing about it and all that. Anyway, just my little bitch session. Carry on, Don.
I'm just wondering. And then nobody said nothing for a while. And Julie never said nothing. And she told me she was going to call you. And I said, I hope you don't cause no problems. Because I love him as much as I love you, James, Tanya, and Tam.
Did you always think that I might be not yours?
No, not at first. Not at first. And then, as the years, you never had no characteristics of mine that much. But I never said nothing. And Bill Harris, he told me, he said, boy, Donnie looks just like you. And I said, yeah, I know it. And that's all we ever said. People ask me how many kids you got, and I say five. I never say no. Half kids, no. Step kids, I just said I got two sons and three daughters. And that's why I say it all the time.
Yeah.
So that they don't know the difference.
So I'm just not the type of person to let the term half kids go by without laughing at it. Sorry. But when Bill said that, did you think that why is he saying that? Because Tanya said that you told her that and that you were saying you wondered if he was telling you to make you feel better or something.
No, I don't remember that.
You don't?
Uh-uh. If he did. No, I don't. I remember him saying it, but I never thought you weren't mine.
I didn't either.
No, that's like Tam. I knew she wasn't, and because she was pregnant when I was going with her, before I even went with her. And she came out and told me that right away. She said, "Andy, I'm pregnant." I said, "Oh, that. Good, good, good for you."
Did you say, how does that happen?
Yeah. I said, "I just met you. How can you be pregnant?"
So
now, where were you born at?
Davenport.
That's what Iowa. I thought. I wonder how far along your mom was when she came up here.
Well, when did you get out of the service? In June or July?
June.
It's so funny how you can remember that so many years, 57 years later.
Right.
But so if you, I was born in December, and if you got out in June, did she come with you right away?
Yeah.
She must have been 3 months pregnant then.
From Arkansas.
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely conceived in Arkansas.
Right.
Because you guys live there, and I was probably conceived in March, I think, of 65.
Right. Have you ever said anything to her?
To who?
Your mom?
Yeah, I don't know what Julie told you, but I found out because I went on, remember Tammy was looking for her bio dad?
Right.
And I was helping her. So those tests, the one she did was 23andMe, one of them brands. And I said, "Well, I'll do one. And that way we'll know if, you know, I'm related to them also. They're on your mom's side. And, you know, and if I'm not related to them on your dad's side." So I did it to help her. And so I did it. When I got the results, there was two half-sisters in there I obviously never knew about.
Is that right?
Yeah. It totally freaked me out, blew my mind.
Were they from Arkansas?
No, but their dad was in the Air Force.
Oh, okay. That's where she got pregnant. She was going with somebody in the Air Force then. Maybe.
Yeah. Did you know?
Uh-uh.
Oh, because I thought Julie said you might know who my dad is. Well, my bio dad, sorry.
No. At that time, I don't think I realized she was running around on me that much. I'm just as confused as you guys are.
Yeah. Those girls, or the half-sisters, there's actually four of them.
From Arkansas?
No, they grew up in Arizona. He was from Texas, and then when he got out of the service, he moved to Arizona, and he married their mom pretty much right after that, I think, in 66 or something like that.
That's the time I retired.
Yeah. I think you guys got out around right around the same time.
Right.
One time when I first found out, I called you and I asked, I told you I was helping Tammy. And so I kind of lied a little bit and I told, I gave you his name and asked if you knew him and you said no.
That's weird if he was in there.
His name was Blair, Bob Blair, B-L-A-I-R.
No, I didn't know that person.
I mean, it's kind of, I think I'm glad you didn't know him.
Right, right.
If that makes sense.
Right. So you've known it for quite a while then.
About a year and a half.
That's a Tam's, Julie said too.
Yeah. I mean, I keep, you know, I kept wanting to tell you, but like, I didn't want to hurt you.
No, neither one of you have hurt me, Julie or you. And I'd rather have it come out this way that when I die, the last thing you say to me, I'm not your son. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd rather know it now.
I'm still your favorite, though, right?
Oh, God. That sounds, you know who that sounds like? Tanya.
Yeah.
Julie told her right away about it. She told.
I know Tanya knew, but did Tanya know? Was she there when Julie called you?
Yeah, but she didn't know if she was telling me. I got off the phone and went over in the living room to look at it, and I says, "How long have you known?" And she said, "About the same time Julie found out." And I said, "How do you know what I was talking about?" She said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm okay." I said, I hate to say it that way, but I'll be all right. Your kids are the ones that are hurting. You crying?
No, I'm just sniffly.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it rocked my world, but. I met all the sisters, the new sisters. They're all pretty good people.
And you think that's your dad?
Oh, it definitely is.
The guy that was in the service?
Yeah.
And he's got four sisters?
Four daughters.
Four daughters.
Yeah, I matched with all of them as a half-brother.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, good. At least you know it.
Yeah, he died in 2010.
Oh, is that right?
It kind of explains why I didn't get as tall as you or any of your brothers.
Right. You got to get a few stilts on you. And start wearing women's high heels. Oh, men got them too.
Yeah. But it's just so funny how, I mean, it never crossed my mind. Like, you know, we have the gap between our front teeth.
Yeah.
Like you and Tanya have, like, the same color eyes as you?
Yep.
I'm like, so it never, ever dawned on me. Like, I had no idea. Are you mad at Mom?
I'm not happy with her.
Yeah.
Are you?
I mean... No, I forgive her, and I feel bad that she cheated on you and I feel bad that she hurt you. But on the other hand, would I exist if she hadn't done that? I mean, that's a weird thing to think about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like, what if he did know about me? Like, would I have spent the summers with you or him?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just weird to
there you go.
To think about all that shit. But I mean, it's kind of stupid to think about it because it, you know.
That's the truth, though. That is the truth.
Yeah. But, you know, I know that she had her wild days and then she straightened out and she's led a good life since then. So
right.
I really try not to judge people of what they did 50-something years ago.
Right. When she met Jim, she kind of straightened out.
Well, she kind of did with John a little bit too, because he was cheating on her all the time. So he got her back for you.
Who's that?
John, the one that I was grew up with when she was married to him, the middle, like, you don't remember him?
Uh-uh.
Real country ass guy. Candy's dad.
Oh, no, I don't remember him.
And they were married from like time I was in like second grade until I was in high school. But
is that right?
He cheated on her all the time with everybody, with my friends from my school or my friends from school's moms, like teenager girl across the street from us. It was.
You're kidding.
No.
Did your mom know it?
She found out about it. Those two. So. But yeah, I hope you can forgive her. Just for your sake. But I should go.
All right.
I'm going to come see you soon, okay?
Great. That'd be great.
And I love you.
I love you too. And the rest of the family.
But me more, right? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, number one. Whenever you call around telling you, just remember, I'm number one now.
She's the only child now.
Yeah, right. Only blood.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got five.
Good point. So I just want to say that I know it sounded like I wrapped up the call abruptly, but we had started talking about my business and stuff and kind of got off the subject. And so I had, in that process, told him a couple times I had to go because I had other work to do. So it wasn't quite as abrupt as it sounded. So there you go. Another episode of Missing Pieces, NPE Life. Please reach out to me on Instagram, which I gave earlier, or you can email me at donnpe@icloud.com. Thanks, everyone. Please rate the show. Tell others about it. If you could please, everybody, just tell one other person this week. That'd be awesome. I need to get my ratings up so I can catch up with Lily and Eve. All right. Thank you so much. We'll see you on the next episode of Missing Pieces, NPE Life. I'm your host, Don Anderson.